From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. Citing hyper-partisanship and a dysfunctional Congress, Democratic Representative Jared Golden announced today that he's abandoning his re-election bid. Steve Missler has more.
Golden made the announcement in a lengthy column published in the Bangor Daily News, in which he lamented the increasing hostility in the nation's politics and threats against him and his family. He also took aim at what he described as the pugilistic voices taking control of the Democratic Party, comparing its current trajectory with the Tea Party that disrupted Republican Party politics 15 years ago. Golden has been under fire by fellow Democrats, and he drew a primary challenger in former Secretary of State Matt Dunlap. He was on track to face former Republican Governor Paul LePage if he won the primary. In his column, Golden wrote that he wasn't afraid of losing, but dreaded the prospect of winning because of the hostility between the two parties and the inability of Congress to serve its constituents. His announcement marks a major shakeup in the 2nd Congressional District race. He's managed to hold the seat since 2019, despite the district's increasingly rightward turn during the rise of President Donald Trump. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The head of the Maine Democratic Party, meanwhile, says he was caught off guard by Golden's announcement. Kevin Miller has more.
Charlie Dingman says he respects Golden's decision to step away and focus on his family, given the vitriol and growing incidences of political violence nationwide. Dingman says it's too early to assess what Golden's decision means for the 2nd Congressional District race.
And it's going to take us a while to assess what we think is going to happen next. We have a primary process, and it may well be that others decide to join in that process. We'll have to see how things develop.
Maine's 2nd District was already expected to be a top target for both national parties next year, as it has been for much of the past decade. Golden is a Democrat serving in an increasingly conservative district that has voted three times for President Donald Trump. Two Democrats, State Auditor Matt Dunlap and Gardner resident Louis Siegel, had already filed papers to run against Golden in the primary. But his decision could blow open the Democratic contest. And whoever wins the June primary is expected to face a formidable challenger next fall, former Republican Governor Paul LePage. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Maine voters yesterday rejected by a wide margin a ballot question that would have implemented voter ID requirements and curtailed absentee voting. Devin Murphy Anderson with the Maine Democratic Party attributes the win to an energized party.
Maine voters have sent a clear and definitive and decisive message in today's election that we believe that every single eligible voter deserves to have their voice heard at the ballot box.
Leaders of the Yes on One campaign blame the loss on the wording of the referendum question and say they believe a future voter ID initiative will succeed. At the same time, voters approved a measure to create a red flag gun law, allowing family or household members to directly petition a judge to order someone to temporarily surrender their guns. Nicole Palmer, executive director of the Maine Gun Safety Coalition, told a crowd of supporters in Portland Tuesday night that the law could prevent mass shootings like the one in Lewiston 2 years ago.
Today, we have taken the safety of our communities into our own hands by finally passing common sense, responsible gun legislation that will save lives and help keep our kids and our communities safe.
Governor Janet Mills, who had opposed the ballot question, issued a statement Tuesday promising to work with law enforcement and the public to enact the changes in the initiative. Maine Housing says it will use $2 million in carryover funds to make an initial round of home heating assistance payments. Nicole Ogrisco has more.
Maine usually receives federal funds for the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, by this time of year. But because the government is shut down, the state hasn't been able to pay fuel providers on behalf of eligible Maine households. Now, state officials say they will use about $2 million originally intended for weatherization projects to provide heating assistance benefits to some 4,000 Maine households who signed up for those benefits in August and September. The state says these are typically older Mainers or families with young children. The Energy Crisis Intervention Program, which provides heating assistance to families facing an emergency, will remain unavailable until the government shutdown ends. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
Portland voters yesterday approved increasing the minimum wage to $19 an hour in phases over the next 3 years. Jason Shedlock, president of the Southern Maine Labor Council, says it's a win for workers, consumers, and businesses.
When you have a workforce that is compensated at a rate that allows them to have a fighting chance to live where they work, you're going to have a workforce that shows up. And studies show that the turnover is less as well.
The Maine Center for Economic Policy says people of color, women, and younger workers will benefit the most from the new ordinance. Voters in the regional school district for Kennebunk, Kennebunkport, and Arundel Tuesday passed a school budget of nearly $62 million. It was the third vote seeking approval for a budget for the current school year after the original proposal for $62.6 million was voted down. Voters in Washington County appear to have rejected a bond referendum to fund an emergency budget shortfall. Caitlin Badion has more.
The question on the ballot asked residents to approve a bond for up to $11 million, although county commissioners voted not to borrow more than $8 million. The bond was to be used to pay off debt attributed to poor accounting practices in recent years, which has drained the county's reserve funds. County officials have said the bond was the best way to responsibly pay off the county's debt, and without it, the only option is to tack the entire $8 million amount to the 2026 budget, which does not require voter approval. The Bangor Daily News and its national partner, Decision Desk HQ, declared the question defeated Wednesday morning. The vote tally, with 89% of precincts reporting, is about 53% opposed to nearly 47% in favor. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badion.
The Maine Office of the Secretary of State says they received several complaints from voters in municipalities about aggressive behavior by groups petitioning for a citizens' initiative at the polls yesterday. The group Protect Girls Sports collected signatures for a citizens' initiative that would restrict transgender students' access to sports and school bathrooms. Equality Maine received at least 13 complaints from voters who said they were harassed by petitioners, including yelling and physically blocking people as they were exiting the polls. Secretary of State Shana Bellows said aggressive behavior towards people who declined to sign petitions is unacceptable at the polls. She said the incidents were addressed by election wardens and police officers at some locations. A new coalition will advocate for more housing in Maine. The group Build Homes, Build Community was launched in Scarborough Wednesday.
We need to help towns welcome housing. We need that yes to housing coming out of every town in Maine.
Laura Mitchell of the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says the new group is also focused on lowering construction costs and speeding up the state and municipal permitting processes. Mitchell says the coalition will also advocate for funding new affordable housing construction. And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, which was recorded before the biggest political news of the day dropped, and that is the announcement from Democratic Congressman Jared Golden that he will not be seeking re-election to Maine's 2nd Congressional District. Golden penned a lengthy op-ed in the Bangor Daily News today decrying the ongoing incivility in D.C. and political violence, including threats against his family. Our political correspondents Steve Missler and Kevin Miller are pursuing that story, which broke late this afternoon, and they'll have more on the political fallout in the coming days. In the meantime, Steve and Kevin are here to break down yesterday's referendum election. Voters overwhelmingly rejected a slate of changes to election laws while also approving a measure that would make it easier to temporarily remove firearms from dangerous people. Kevin, let's begin with question one, the proposal that tried to create a photo ID requirement to vote, but also included a host of other changes to Maine's popular absentee voting laws. Conservatives seemed pretty fired up for this proposal earlier this year, but it was soundly defeated yesterday. What happened?
Yeah, thanks, Ari. So it's pretty clear that the conservative groups behind Question 1 basically lost their momentum. As of this morning, the Question 1 campaign had received fewer votes than the 170,000 signatures that they gathered to get the issue on the ballot. And I suspect what happened is they didn't keep the question focused on voter ID. That's what question one was supposedly all about. But they proposed the slew of other changes to absentee voting. That created a massive opening for the much better funded opposition campaign, since absentee voting is really popular in Maine. And that message clearly resonated with voters, and not just in left-leaning towns like the Southern Coast, but also in many rural communities. If you look at the map of the way votes fell, most of the towns in Oxford County and interior York and Cumberland counties opposed question one, some of those by large margins, and those are not left-leaning areas.
When this proposal first qualified for the ballot, it looked like it was going to be a pretty expensive campaign on both sides, but that never really materialized, did it?
No, it didn't. So all told, the opposition campaigns probably spent upwards of $2 million to defeat question one. That's really not a huge sum, even for a ballot initiative in Maine. But it was enough to allow them to get on TV with ads, and of course, to blanket online and digital sources with ads. And it allowed them to launch a fairly aggressive ground game. But the Yes on One campaign really couldn't match that. They received more than $500,000 from a national group, the Republican State Leadership Committee, early on, and it clearly wasn't enough to counter the No campaign, especially in the final weeks.
Okay, Steve, let's shift to question two for a moment. This is the proposal that would create a red flag law and allow family members to petition a judge to have a loved one's firearms removed if they're a danger to themselves or others. It was brought by a local gun control group as a response to the Lewiston mass shootings 2 years ago, and it passed also pretty overwhelmingly. Were you surprised by that?
I wasn't surprised that it passed, Ari, but I was surprised by the margins. I mean, this initiative didn't just win in liberal strongholds in Portland and along the coast, but also in rural areas. It almost was a mirror image of the no vote on question one in terms of where it passed.
And why do you think it did so well?
Well, it could be for a couple of reasons, and one of them could be that question one really mobilized Democratic groups and voters, which conducted a lot of canvassing across the state, as Kevin mentioned. But I also think it's possible the Lewiston mass shooting has shifted Mainers' views of its historically permissive gun laws just enough that something like allowing family members to petition a judge to prevent gun violence is a worthwhile tool. Now, that's not to say that gun control groups are going to convince Maine voters to approve everything on their policy wish list, but this proposal had a direct connection to Lewiston, and it was a response to the legislature's failure to advance a similar bill in the aftermath of the tragedy.
And there you're talking about the red flag bill that never even got a vote in the legislature last year, right?
Correct. Democrats instead passed a slate of reforms introduced by Governor Janet Mills, who was opposed to a red flag law, and she was opposed to question two as well. She and gun rights groups argued that the initiative would undercut Maine's yellow flag law, which, of course, she helped draft alongside a prominent gun rights group, the Sportsmen's Alliance of Maine, in 2019.
And the governor and gun rights groups were trying to make the case that because Maine's yellow flag law has been used so often since Lewiston, that question two was unnecessary, right?
Yeah, that was basically it. But I think the drafters of question two countered that by making sure their proposal didn't replace the yellow flag law. Instead, it was framed as a complement and an additional tool for law enforcement, not to mention families with a loved one in crisis.
And how about spending in this race, Steve? Was that as lopsided as it was in question one?
It was when you account for the total spending, but like Kevin mentioned, it wasn't really as much compared to recent referendum campaigns, which have been in the tens of millions of dollars. Proponents of question two outspent opponents something like 8-1, but that's not really new in the context of gun control referendums here. Gun rights groups are always outspent. They just usually win in spite of that disadvantage. It just didn't happen this time.
Okay, let's circle back to Kevin and the voter ID proposal in question one. How are the conservative activists who brought this initiative reacting to the defeat?
Well, they're saying they're disappointed, of course, and that they're proud of the campaign they ran. But they're also casting blame on Democratic Secretary of State Shenna Bellows over the way the question was worded, because voter ID was all the way at the end of the question after a bunch of changes to absentee balloting. This isn't a new attack. They actually sued Bellows, attempting to force her to rewrite the question. But the courts rejected their arguments that the question was too long or confusing. And as we talked about earlier, the reality is that they wrote all of these absentee balloting changes into the initiative. Secretary of State Bellows and the opposition campaign didn't do that.
And Steve, how about the gun rights groups in question two? How are they reacting?
Well, the statement we received last night was about getting outspent and the influence of out-of-state groups, which is true. And the statement didn't mention this, but there could be a legal challenge to the new law, which would make sense because that's what the National Rifle Association and its allies are doing with red flag laws in other states. It's worth noting that the NRA was not a big presence in this referendum. And that's interesting because it has been involved in previous ones. But the NRA might have made a calculated decision that investing money to defeat this at the ballot box just wasn't worth it, especially when it could plow its resources into a legal challenge that could undo red flag laws in this state as well as others.
So this, of course, was an off-year election. But Steve and Kevin, what does it tell us as we're looking ahead to 2026 with a bunch of really high-profile races coming up for Maine?
Ari, I think it's hard to draw many indicators about next year's candidate elections based on a referendum election, but yesterday's results could help shape next year's campaigns. For example, Governor Janet Mills opposed Question 2. That might become an issue for her during the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate, where she is, of course, a candidate alongside several others. And Question 1 might play a role in next year's general election for governor, because Democratic candidates could use the result to attack any GOP candidates who endorse the measure. The same goes for legislative candidates.
Yeah, and I'll just add here, Ari, that it's very clear that Democrats are highly motivated by this, and they're hoping to keep that momentum going. I mean, the fact that the No on One campaign held its rally in Portland in conjunction with the Maine Democratic Party kind of tells you that these allies were working together and plan to work together. But the question is, can that momentum be sustained? We're a year out from next year's election, and anything could happen the next year.
And that was Maine Public's political correspondents, Kevin Miller and Steve Missler. You can read more about yesterday's referendum election in the Pulse newsletter. Find it online at mainepublic.org/pulse. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, digital privacy. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.